Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love. Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening on the East Coast. This is Don Margolis, ready for this week's broadcast. We're going to start off with a bit about how this got started. Because you're not allowed to read about this in the United States, since the United States government is openly against stem cells for the benefit of the pharmaceutical companies who more or less own the United States government. So here's how it happened. Back in the middle 90s, there was a young doctor at Duke University named Doris Taylor, and she began theorizing that you could rebuild a heart with stem cells. Now, it was known by everybody in medicine that you could not regenerate heart tissue. It's 100 years of false information that embedded itself into the medical science. So when she started talking about what she was doing, people called her nuts. What kind of nut would try to regenerate heart tissue? But she decided she was going to do an animal test. She had a nice little team at Duke University, and they tested animals. And she was brilliant the way she did it. She gave them a bad diet when they were born, and they became heart patients. And these animals then got sick, and she gave them adult stem cells, and they got better. So she did a very scientific trial and proved that this works. And that trial was held in 1997-98, and published in 1998. It shook up the medical world, and it was impossible, but some doctors believed it, and they tried it themselves. They used different animals. They used different protocols. They used different stem cells. Whatever they did, it worked. Even the ones that tried to disprove it, which is perfectly legitimate in medical science, something comes out and you don't believe it, you try to disprove it. Well, nobody could disprove it, and everybody who tried proved it. And that led to human clinical trials astonishing Doris Taylor, who thought it would be 15 or 20 years, and after 3 years, they were doing human clinical trials. That led to the greatest early clinical trial, which was taking place in Brazil, and that paper was published in late 2002, picked up by the American Heart Association, which that astonished everybody. The American Heart Association said, this works. And they published the Brazil paper, which had 14 dying heart transplant candidates who got stem cells, and randomly 7 who got a placebo. Obviously, the 7 didn't improve. They were still desperately looking for a heart transplant. The other 14 got significantly better. And this is what was published by the American Heart Association. Meanwhile, the pharmaceutical industry knew what was coming. they knew two things. They knew that the embryonic stem cells that had come out of the University of Wisconsin at the same time as Taylor's came out of Duke, they knew that it would never, never be able to put an embryonic stem cell into a human being. And if you could fix it up so that it wouldn't kill him, it would cost an enormous amount of money compared to what it costs to take the patient's own stem cells, as is this treatment today. So they started a hoax in the year 2004, and for the next 8 years, all of the medical journals, the three major medical journals, New England Journal, Science and Nature, published nothing but lies about stem cell therapy. To this day, you can still see bone marrow stem cells can only become blood or blood vessels and cannot become anything else. You still see that on their websites if you look for it. And those lies were disproven by scientific papers written as early as 06 and published in other decent medical journals in 07, 08, and 09. All over the world, doctors were saying, look at these stem cells, they can become anything. And that's the lie they tell about embryonic stem cells. Embryonic stem cells can become anything. And when you see an article, you'll see embryonic stem cells can become anything and adult stem cells are limited. All lies, okay? So that's what happens, and that's why all you hear about is embryonic stem cells. Your president, Obama, tells you embryonic stem cells are the future. Every member of the Democrat Party will tell you that embryonic stem cells are the future. Every crooked, and I do mean crooked, medical science, and we're loaded with them, medical scientists and researcher, will tell you the same thing. You'll see in the major universities. Why does the major universities keep coming out and telling you adult stem cells don't work and embryonic stem cells are the future when they know absolutely that no human being will ever be treated with embryonic stem cells unless they convert them into something else that won't kill them at some great expense, because they can't exist without pharma's money. Pharma makes $250 million a day. I'll say it again slowly, $250 million a day. And they take plenty of that money and give it to universities who must play their game, to give it to newspapers who, if they don't play their game, they'll go out of business because they'll stop advertising with them. Or they'll absolutely control the newspapers because they are the billionaires they are. So that's why you hear nothing but garbage. But let's go back to the first clinical trial, Dr. Doris Taylor. Dr. Taylor did this at Duke University. Now, to see how much control pharma has, let's take a look at the most honest website on the internet, Wikipedia. Wikipedia is about as honest as you can get. And look up Doris Taylor stem cells on Wikipedia. And what you will see was that Doris Taylor, the godmother of stem cell therapy, graduated college in 1977, and that she went, she got a degree in pharmacology in 1988, and then she did nothing for the next 20 years, according to Wikipedia. Nothing for 20 years while she was creating the greatest science in the history of medicine. She did nothing. And that is because Wikipedia needs a lot of people to moderate various subjects. And of course, if it's stem cells, it's going to be doctors. And for some reason, pharma got its doctors in charge of all stem cell data on Wikipedia, and its doctors take money and then lie. So Doris Taylor did nothing as far as Wikipedia is concerned, from 1988 to 2008. Now, she's making such enormous news today. She's the number one in the world who is creating new hearts out of stem cells. That means to ultimately replace transplants, which is going to be one of the greatest hits in modern medicine. It's not going to happen this decade, believe me.
It's not, and it may not even happen next decade, but if Doris Taylor stays alive and healthy, it will in the next decade, in my opinion. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And let's get on to our next subject, which is modern cancer treatment. There are two types of modern cancer treatment. As most of our listeners know, and as most people who pay attention to the real world know, chemotherapy and radiation and surgery kill more people than cancer itself. Now, of course, the official statistics are twisted so that you don't know this, but chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery kill people, and they kill them over long periods of time. So that you're not allowed to know, and especially in the United States, you're not allowed to know the truth about cancer, and that there are literally at least a half a dozen what you would think of as miraculous cancer treatments that are not miracles at all, and that are easy to treat cancer patients with, much easier and 100% safer than chemotherapy and radiation, which bring in over $1 billion a month to the multi-billionaires who control it and put doctors in jail who dare to challenge it. Now you say, who's going to put a doctor in jail for treating, for curing somebody? The FDA and the United States Justice Department and the Obama Justice Department and the George Bush Justice Department and the Bill Clinton Justice Department and the Daddy Bush Justice Department have put doctors in jail for curing cancer patients. And so I'm here to tell you that there are treatments, and I've gone all over and looked at a lot of them. I don't have 100% knowledge here, but I'll tell you two things. Thing number one, the best doctor in the world for treating cancer with stem cells, and I'm not saying stem cells are the best, but the best doctor in the world is in Israel. And he has treated and saved the lives of plenty of terminal cancer patients. Now, what I'm about to give you now is an estimate. He was at Hadassah Hospital back in the 90s and treating people with cellular therapy, not only stem cells, but all kinds of cellular therapies, back in the 90s. And oncologists who knew about him would send him patients that they would have to tell to go to a hospice and die. They sent him some, and based on the figures I saw, unofficial and my opinion only, he was saving about 30% of them. And if you want to talk with this doctor, if you have a cancer patient and you want to consider stem cells, just email us at info@repairstemcells.org. info@repairstemcells.org. Since then, we have discovered an amazing, and I can't say anything more strong than that. I have seen the results, and I have visited the company in China that did a clinical trial that goes beyond imagination. They took 1,068 patients and put them through this system, and the specific results blew me away. Their life saving is a little more than twice that of chemo and radiation. I'll say it again. More than twice as many patients, percentage-wise, were saved compared to chemo and radiation. And I'm saying that on official chemo statistics, even though I have some very top cancer doctors who say the official statistics are nonsense, that chemo and radiation do not save that many people. If you want information upon either of these cancer treatments, please write to info@repairstemcells.org, and you will get all the information you want and then some. Now let's go to the business of heart stem cells, that which Doris Taylor started, oh, golly, 1998, 15 years ago, and we've got great doctors treating them. We now have an interview and with Bill Gates. No, not that Bill Gates, another Bill Gates. And you're going to hear it now. He just 2 months ago got stem cells for his heart. Let's listen.
Welcome, everybody. We now have Bill Gates with us. No, not that Bill Gates, but Bill Gates, who used to have a heart problem and went down to Argentina to see what he could do about it. Bill, what was your heart like before you went to Argentina?
Don, I had a very low ejection fraction. I felt bad all the time. My primary problem was I was retaining water by the gallon, and it was causing me to have to go to the hospital a lot to have the water taken off of my body.
Understood. And and sometimes they have drugs that could control that, but obviously the drugs weren't doing you much good.
They weren't working.
They weren't working. Okay. So now you're on your way to Argentina, and it's a long 9-10 hour trip. How did that, was that too tough for you?
Well, it was a long trip. I went down with my son and daughter-in-law, and we were able to pick up some first-class tickets at a very reasonable cost, and so the trip wasn't too bad.
Okay, glad to hear that.
I didn't sleep well, but other than that, it was all right.
Okay. How about who met you at the airport?
A representative of Dr. Vina's clinic and a young lady, and she spoke excellent English, and she was with a driver, a professional driver in car, and they met me at the airport and escorted me down to San Nicolas to where the clinic was and checked me into a hospital. Into a hotel there.
Okay. So you weren't in too bad a shape when you arrived then, because if people arrive very sick, they put them right in the hospital. So you and your son and daughter-in-law went into the hotel.
And, correct.
And when did you first meet Dr. Vina?
I met him the next day. And I checked into the hospital that next evening, and he had his staff with him when he met me in the hospital, and we discussed what was going to happen the next day, and he answered questions that we had about the different procedures.
Okay. How would you describe him, not as a doctor, but as a guy you just met?
A very jovial guy, and we got along just fine. And he has a world of self confidence, and was able to tell us all about his program from the beginning and his experience in stem cells, and which is very impressive.
Hey, Bill, between you and me, I'd rather my cardiologist be overconfident than confident.
No question. A positive attitude.
So how was the stem cell procedure?
Well, I'll tell you what the stem cell procedure was. They came and got me in my hotel room, hospital room the next morning. And, I think it was closer to 11 o'clock. And took me down to the cath lab, and at that time, a hematologist came in and drew the samples of my bone marrow from my hip, and it wasn't too painful. You could feel it, but it wasn't too painful. Then they made the stem cell injections up. And after that, of course, they use the cath lab there to place the stem cells in my heart, and also in my heart or wherever they did it in that area, and it appeared to be about a total of a 3-hour deal from the from me leaving my room to getting back to my room.
Okay, and, that's very descriptive.
It was a pretty procedure that had been well practiced, and these guys that were in there just they knew their job and they just did it.
Okay, and, how did you feel as back in your hotel room the next day? How did you feel?
Tired. Okay. A little pain in my rear end where they drew the bone marrow sample, and other than that, I was fine. I mean, I wasn't in any general pain or anything like that. I couldn't tell if the stem cells were working, you know, that quick or anything. But I felt fine. They gave me sleeping pills and pain pills, and so I was able to sleep and forego most of the pain. And the next morning, you know, I felt pretty good. He came by the room the next morning and released me from the hospital, and that was it.
Okay. Now let's skip forward 2 months. During the last 2 months, have you experienced an increase in energy?
Very much so.
And how about stamina, the ability to keep it up? Is it that increased versus before?
Yes, I'm above and beyond where I was, say, 6 or 9 months ago.
Okay.
And, no stretch of the imagination there. And I stayed in Austin, Texas for about 6 weeks to 2 months before I came back down to my home in Cabo. And I was able to work with my doctors there on controlling my fluid. And thus far, I have had not a problem one with fluid retention.
Thank goodness.
My biggest problem.
Okay, Bill, we're running out of time here. Just want to say thank you, and we'll be back to you in a month, and we'll talk about a month or two, and we'll talk about your further progress. We appreciate your time, and as we say, buena suerte.
Bye-bye.
Well, hope you enjoyed that one, and you got another one coming up right now with one of the world's leading stem cell doctor. Every one of our 15 doctors is different than every other one. And Dr. Jim Brawley, who's living in Nevada, is one of the world leaders in stem cell science, and his specialty is nutrition. And he has figured out how to improve the performance of a patient's stem cells by giving him a perfect diet and a perfect living sample. And I'm happy to say that Dr. Brawley will be my co-host next week. But today he's going to talk about the role of glutathione stem cell in stem cell therapy. Dr. Jim?
Thank you, Don. It's been said a number of times that the discovery of glutathione ranks among the major discoveries in biochemistry and medicine. I'd like to add that complementary glutathione therapy ranks as one of the major new discoveries in stem cell therapy as well. And you might say, well, that's quite a statement. Let's see if I can argue that point. Let's begin with discussing what this chemical is called glutathione. Glutathione is a very small, simple protein that's found in all the cells of the human body, everywhere, including stem cells, we'll come back to that, and other cells that nourish and protect stem cells. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. The key point here is that high levels of glutathione in humans are found universally in healthy patients. Low levels are found in chronically ill patients, whether they're young or old. So what does glutathione do? First of all, it's a detoxifier. It helps get rid of all these environmental toxins, heavy metals, solvents, pesticides, etc., cigarette smoke. It also has anti-cancer benefits. It's been shown to have some benefit in liver cancer in women, colon cancer, and skin cancers. It also appears to reduce the toxicity that Don was alluding to with chemotherapy cancer patients. If you give glutathione in conjunction with chemotherapy, the toxic effects of chemotherapy are reduced. And most importantly, and relevant to this discussion, glutathione is a powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, pain-reducing, brain-protective, stem cell-enhancing chemical. My first exposure to this as a potent, extremely important new therapeutic agent was at a professional lecture about 10 to 15 years ago given by one of my favorite therapist, neurologist David Perlmutter. He showed a video of Parkinson patients that were videotaped before and after they were received intravenous glutathione therapy. Before the IV glutathione therapy, the Parkinson patients characteristically had stiff, stooped-over method of walking, slow shuffling, and with a blank or depressed-looking facial expression. All had extreme difficulty stopping and then quickly, without hesitation, turning 180 degrees to walk back towards the camera. After 1 month of three times a week intravenous glutathione therapy, they walked much more upright, walked faster without the shuffling, they were less stooped, and were able to make the 180-degree turnaround quickly and without hesitation. I recall one patient smiling at the camera as he walked back to the camera, and even trying to skip as he walked. One subsequent published study, probably also by Dr. Perlmutter, I don't recall, that Parkinson's patients received the IV glutathione or placebo three times a week for 4 weeks, and the results were basically the same what I saw in the video. The activity levels of daily living and their movement or motor scores improved dramatically compared to the people who were receiving the placebo. However, this is a key why I think that glutathione therapy works best in conjunction with stem cell therapy, is that the patients did well, but slowly over a period of about 3 or 4 months, they got their Parkinson's symptoms back and had to return for another month of treatment. So how and why is this possible? First of all, let's talk about Parkinson's disease, but it's really applicable to most of the chronic diseases that we treat in stem cell, with stem cells. Parkinson's disease is a progressive disease of the brain. It's associated with the loss of the ability to produce a particular chemical called dopamine in an area of the brain called substantia nigra. Oxidative stress, that's what happens when, for example, you see an apple cut open and the white of the apple slowly turns brown. That's oxidation or oxidative stress. Or when a wet nail slowly rusts, that's also an example of oxidation. Oxidative stress has been implicated as a major problem with Parkinson's disease. And what a lot of people are now saying is the reason for that is these Parkinson's patients don't have enough glutathione. Their total level of glutathione in their brain and body is reduced by as much as 50%, especially in that area called the substantia nigra. So when I saw this video, I said to myself, boy, I need to become much more knowledgeable and started doing some research. I don't have time during this session to talk about my experience using IV glutathione with patients, alcoholics and drug-dependent patients entering a recovery residential center. Remarkable what we were able to accomplish. We were able to get rid of acute withdrawal symptoms in less than 5 days and chronic absence symptoms dramatically reduced in 30 days compared to people who are not receiving the therapy, but that's another subject. And it may, by the way, have been intermediated by stem cells. In retrospect, that's my conclusion. Well, glutathione deficiency. So I started researching that in the area of stem cells, and Dr. Fernando Ramirez, my colleague and stem cell therapist at Stem Cell Center in North America, we very quickly discovered that glutathione deficiency is extremely common among all the chronically ill patients we were treating, whether they be stroke patients, MS patients, Parkinson patients, diabetic patients, dementia patients, ALS patients, etc. With that in mind, what's the relationship between glutathione and stem cells? I begin with the starting premise that adult stem cells don't function in a vacuum. If the individual being treated with stem cells is malnourished, we talked about that at previous shows, the vitamin D deficiency or other deficiencies we commonly see, stem cells will function suboptimally. When stem cells are injected into your bloodstream, spinal fluid, or joints, the stem cells need to be transported to the diseased area or injured area that needs repair or regeneration. If stem cells are glutathione deficient, they have a five-fold decrease in their ability to quickly traffic to or migrate to the areas of repair, needing repair. In other words, if you're glutathione deficient, and most chronically ill patients are, stem cells lose much of their ability to quickly and efficiently be transported to the areas that you need for repair and regeneration. Another area is that once they get there, they need to differentiate or transform into the tissues you want to replace or you want repaired. And you also want them to multiply quickly, so there's enough stem cells there to do the work. Glutathione has been shown to play a major role in this differentiation and multiplication of stem cells. In other words, if you're glutathione deficient, keep in mind that most chronic ill patients seeking stem cell treatment are glutathione deficient. The stem cells administered to you don't differentiate or multiply optimally. And finally, I think this is the most interesting. In the human brain, brain nerve cells called neurons are easily damaged by excessive oxidation. Although 2% of the body weight, 20% of the blood, and over 20% of the oxygen goes through the brain, creating a lot of oxidation potential. However, these same brain nerve cells are protected from damage by the nearby presence of cells called astrocytes, because they're star-shaped in the brain and the spinal cord. And interestingly enough, they're the most abundant cell in the human brain. In other words, if your brain glutathione levels are low, astrocytes don't work well in protecting the other brain cells. And so they're left unprotected, and damage and death to brain cells accelerates, like in Parkinson's disease or MS or Alzheimer's. In order for stem cells to help produce healthy new brain nerve cells that persist and endure over a period of time, the brain and its astrocytes have to be well supplied with glutathione. So today, Stem Cell Center of North America Integrative Treatment Program now routinely includes what we call glutathione therapy in conjunction with stem cell therapy. How do we do that? Without going into great detail, we put them on a diet that's not, that doesn't result in oxidation and damage to cells. I think right now the best diet, it has to be modified and individualized, is a modified Mediterranean diet with foods rich in glutathione. Includes fish and lots of vegetables and fruits. No alcohol and no smoking. I really like the medicinal spice called turmeric, 95% curcuminoids. Increases glutathione levels by up to 180%. I like an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, an amino acid powder called glutamine. Vitamin C orally, as little as 500 milligrams a day for 2 weeks, increases glutathione levels in the brain and the body by 50% or more. And also there's other ones like concentrated whey protein, a protein from milk. And we're also now giving intravenous glutathione and intravenous vitamin C. They're administered in conjunction with 2 consecutive days of stem cells and platelet-rich plasma therapy in our clinic. So in summary, stem cells, whether your own or somebody else's, like umbilical cord blood placenta stem cells, administered at stem cell centers, work better, more efficiently, work quicker and longer if they're given to patients who, number one, are well-nourished. The stem cells infused into your body at these same centers also need to be surrounded by optimal levels of glutathione, like in the brain. The astrocytes have to be optimally nourished in order for neural stem cells in the brain to function and other brain cells to be protected. In order to help with the differentiation and transformation and multiplication of high numbers. So it's a very exciting new area, shows a lot of promise. We're getting very good results since we introduced this new therapy with patients. So if I can summarize the way I began, The discovery of glutathione ranks among the major discoveries in biochemistry and medicine. I believe glutathione therapy, complementary therapy, administered in addition to stem cells, ranks as one of the major new discoveries in stem cell therapy as well. So with that, back to you, Don.
Thank you, Dr. Brawley. See you next week.
Okay, thank you.
For those of you who would like to talk to Dr. Brawley about your medical condition, all you got to do is send an email to info@repairstemcells.org and put in the message, I'd like to speak with Dr. Brawley. Okay, now we come to one of our favorite interviews. As you know, virtually every university and medical scientist will tell you that stem cells don't work, and that and the University of Pennsylvania will lie to you and tell you that stem cells for the heart only last 4 months. That was Dr. Gearhart, a big shot at University of Pennsylvania, who said that publicly at a meeting of the corrupt International Stem Cell Society. And we'd like to take issue with Dr. Gearhart, the University of Pennsylvania, and all the corrupt scientists at the International Society who tell you that adult stem cells don't work and that embryonics are the future. This is a heart patient who was, at one time, left to die by his home cardiologist and almost killed. But his name is Richard Stewart, and we're going to talk to him after the break. Let's have a quick break now and come back right after the break to talk to Richard.
Since 2005, Don Margulis has been quietly earning the title of the voice of stem cell science for his tireless advocacy of the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells to help patients recover from more than 100 different diseases and medical conditions, including the big three chronic killers in the U.S., cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margulis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on VBS Radio.
Let's meet now Mr. Richard Stewart from Florida. Richard Stewart is one of the few people in the world who have had 7 years after stem cells for a bad heart, and he keeps staying healthy, and his heart keeps staying healthy, and we're going to ask him some questions. Richard, first question. Tell us about your heart condition before the stem cells, and we're going back to December of 2005, if I recall correctly. Is that right?
Yes. I had a heart failure, and my heart function dropped to 10 to 15%, and the doctors said there was nothing else they could do for me. And they said that we had 3 weeks to live in writing. And that's 7 years ago.
Okay. And that is not that unusual, and he was probably right. With what he had available, he couldn't help you. So let's not criticize that, doctor. Let's go right on to the next question, which is, you came to Bangkok, and can you describe personally how you felt during that procedure? You were in Bangkok for approximately, 2 weeks?
Yes.
And how do you feel today? How do you recall that experience?
Well, it was a very good experience. It was handled in a very professional way. The Bangkok Heart Hospital, which was rated the top hospital in the world in 2009, handled the minor surgery for the stem cell injections.
And you feel good about that procedure? They treated you well, et cetera?
Couldn't have been better.
Okay. that surgery is now obsolete. It ended officially in at the end of 2009 when they went when everybody who does it professionally uses a catheter to implant it, put the catheter in through the upper part of your thigh and run it up to the coronary arteries. Okay.
Yes.
Now, so you left here in December of 2005. When did you first notice that you had more physical ability than you had before?
Well, it was sort of a gradual experience. Within 2 months, I was very active and walking upstairs and doing all the normal things that I would normally do.
And
swimming.
You hadn't been able to do those things prior?
No. Correct.
Okay. All right. And at the end of the first year, were you better off than you were, let's say, after 3 months? Were you better off 12 months later or the same?
Well, I had regular checkups and echocardiograms, and my EF went up to 28 within about 2 months after the procedure. And it peaked out at a 42 to 45%. That's what it is today.
And that's about as close to normal as anybody with congestive heart failure could ask for. Considered normal for somebody over 65 is anything over 50 ejection fraction, and Richard's staying in the 40 to 45 range, which is excellent. Okay, today is 2013. 7.5 years have gone by. Of course, being that you're over 60, you have ups and downs of other things. But as far as your heart is concerned, would you say your heart is as healthy as it was a year after the treatment, or almost as healthy as it was a year after treatment, or not as healthy as it was a year after treatment?
Well, I'm basing that on tests that they've recently run, and it's holding. My EF is holding in the 40s, so it's very good.
That's wonderful, Richard. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for your time. We'll be, hopefully we'll be talking to you next year. And,
okay.
And it's wonderful talking with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Richard. We have plenty like him, and we hope to have one every week, just so when I call the pharma bribe so-called medical doctors, liars, you'll know that that we have real proof. Something for people. If you have right now severe refractory angina and you know that you're in a lot of discomfort and you know that the pills that they give you don't work in most cases, fortunately, I got an article this week saying that the University of Louisville is starting a clinical trial for these serious angina patients. So if you have angina and you're listening to this program, you should try to get into this nationwide study. It's nationwide, not just the University of Louisville. Over 75% of the patients will improve, some dramatically, and the rest will suffer no harm. At no cost to you but travel costs, if you get into one of these things, and I'm told it's at 50 different hospitals around the country, please try to get in. You can't do any better than getting it for free and only paying travel expenses. So if you want some help in getting in, just write to me, Don, at repairstemcells.org, and I'll show you how. Now let's spend a few minutes on something that a lot of people, and I'm talking about millions of people, are getting hurt by, and I'm going to try to warn you how to avoid it and not get hurt. And that is the statin hoax. The statin hoax is the worst hoax, not counting stem cell hoax, the worst hoax going on in medicine today. It is done by with the help of the FDA. The hoax works because of the FDA. It is done by some crooked scientists who run trials on the results of the statin hoax. And here's what happens when you take statins. Your incidence of heart attack goes down. And that's all you're allowed to hear. We are now going to mention the truth about statins. This is from the British British Medical Journal. Quote, "To hear Big Pharma tell it, statin drugs are miracle medicines that have prevented millions of heart attacks and strokes. But a recent study published in the British Medical Journal tells a completely different story." It tells a story that's the truth, which you never hear in America. "For every heart attack prevented by the drug, two or more people suffered liver damage, kidney failure, cataracts, or extreme muscle weakness as a result of taking the drug. Statin drugs, in other words, harm far more people than they help." Unquote. If you want to see the full article, just drop me a note at don@repairstemcells.org and ask for the statin article. One other note on the same subject. Before Big Pharma clamped down on honest medical reporting, there was a feature about statins on CBS TV in Chicago in early 2004, which would never have been produced in 2005 or since. I uncovered it in 06. It seems that the FDA first approved statins for a limited group of patients. Then Big Pharma saw the opportunity to make billions and, oh, by the way, kill or maim hundreds of thousands of patients, including me. Here's how it went. They applied to the FDA, which knows it is wrong, but they are 100% owned by the billionaires. So they just cover their butts by sending the application to the super corrupt National Institutes of Health, a government-funded operation which rubber stamps whatever is profitable to Big Pharma. Why? Because the majority of voting doctors are significant pharma shareholders. Then the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, naturally approves it. And next, CBS Chicago reported that almost all of those who voted for statins owned stock in drug companies that profit from statin sales specifically. Thus, these corrupt doctors, who are big shots with lots of letters after their name, profited by approving the killing and maiming of you lab rats. And I was one of them. I lost the use of my arms and had to stop exercising for 16 months. And I was lucky I had a guy who knew how to fix it, but it took 16 months to fix. The same doctors who prescribed this poison for commissions are paid not to report your side effects to the FDA, as proven by a study in Southern California in 2008. So much for statins. You have been warned. Finally, we're going to discuss the future of the stem cell profession. The future of the stem cell profession, you've just heard Dr. Brawley give you an indication of the future of the stem cell profession. He is certainly the leading stem cell doctor in the world when it comes to diet, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle. He knows that, and he goes to great troubles to tell his patients exactly how to change their diet, exactly what supplements to take, and that they should exercise moderately and frequently. But that's Dr. Brawley. Every stem cell patient who's treated by one of our 15 doctors gets, at the end of his treatment, the Brawley diet consultation. It's included in his treatment. But it's going to get around into stem cells because doctors who don't prescribe diets and diet improvements are going to find that their patients aren't going to be as successful as those that do. And there's many other things. For example, there are two kinds of oxygen therapy, and oxygen has been proven removes a lot of the negatives from your body. If it's there's oxygen therapy and there's hyperbaric therapy, and both of them are now being used by 3 of our 15 clinics to improve the results of stem cell treatment. And I believe that half of them will be using it within 2 years because it has to improve the results of the treatments. Now, I'm going to get into a subject called functional medicine. Functional medicine is what would have been approved by America's greatest 20th century medical doctor. Some of you are old enough to remember his name, but many of you are not. His name was Linus Pauling, and he lived to be 93, and he was known mainly for being an advocate of large doses of vitamin C. Now, Dr. Linus Pauling, in 1974, almost 40 years ago, came out with a statement predicting exactly what was going to happen to medicine in America to become the corrupt mess it is. And in his exact words, he said, predicted exactly what happened. Now remember, Linus Pauling was America's only double Nobel laureate. Quote, "Everything in the treatment and prevention of chronic diseases, which is not natural to the human body, will fail. The mechanisms of our body systems are unwilling in the medium term to react cooperatively to substances which are toxic to the human body." Unquote. What I'm saying here is that every prescription drug, what I think he is saying, is every prescription drug has side effects and poisons which are not easily removed from your body. Quoting again, "Orthodox medicine will attempt to compensate for its disregard of this maxim, which is born out of narrow-mindedness and ignorance of the laws of nature, by spending vast sums of money, by commissioning research on a gigantic scale, and by propaganda." Unquote. Again, orthodox medicine, which people attack me for calling doctors what they are, ignorant and narrow-minded, he said it 35 years before I did. Unquote. Quoting now, "The attempt will fail because it will cause a tremendous explosion in health costs, which will lead to a serious social upheaval and an economic and political crisis." Unquote. Now, that is exactly what has happened. The United States spends 18% of its income on health costs, while Europe, on average, the European community, on average, spends 10%. And their results are far, far better than our results in America. Why? Because it's all about profits and not about you lab rats. Finally quoting Dr. Linus Pauling, "Even industries that merge into vast conglomerates," exactly what's happened, "in order to be able to finance non-biological medicines will fail. No amount of money in the world will ever make it possible to imitate the development of effective substances over hundreds of millions of years of biofunctional adaptation, unquote. What he's saying is that our bodies in hundreds of millions of years have learned to adapt to certain natural medicines. And that is what cures us. But today, no cure is allowed in the United States of America of any chronic disease. Now, your doctor may say otherwise, so I have a simple question for him. Doctor, what chronic disease do you cure regularly these days? And, of course, he will give you some blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah, but the answer is none. Okay, next week we're going to have Dr. Brawley as our co-host, and we're going to be talking about how to disregard the embryonic hoax, and we'll be talking about next week. We're going to be talking about a lot of medical science. There's medical science about liver. There's medical science about new hearts. And there's medical science about new kidneys and all sorts of stem cell medical science. So between medical science and our interviews of successful patients and Dr. Brawley's talks about all the things that learning to eat properly will do for you, will all be introduced again next week, and we will have another clinical trial for you for people who have a chronic disease that can't possibly be helped by your doctor. But if we can get you into a proper stem cell clinical trial, it'll be great for you. So let's sign off here. This is Don Margolis signing off for this week, and we'll be back, of course, next Friday, which is the first Friday in August, sharing with Dr. Brawley. Thank you for your listening, and we'll see you next week.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org, and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.